Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Yeah, we're stacking stones tonight. This is Brother Brandon Teague coming at you live from the mothership here at the Faith Baptist Church location in Paris, Texas, this Thursday, September the 26th, 2013, on the Old Paths broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio, bringing you the truth from the King James Bible. Amen. Washed in the blood, saved by Jesus Christ, his precious blood. My sins been washed away. I'm saved forevermore. I thank God for Jesus. I'm glad to be here tonight with you on the Old Paths broadcast. We're broadcasting live, broadcasting truth, and bringing you the truth that you may not get anywhere else. And I want to bring in my co-host. And I couldn't do this without him. He is absolutely essential to the program. He is the pastor of the Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota, and he's quite a force to be reckoned with, and I know it's God's power, but I tell you, he's all over the internet. He puts his sermons out there. Folks are eating up his preaching right and left. I just thank God for him. Pastor Jason Cooley, good to have you with me tonight, brother.
Good to be with you, Brother Brandon, and that's a blessing to be used of God, that you and I can do this from so many miles away, that we can work together for the Lord and do what God has called us to do. And it's just a blessing to be able to serve the Lord with you, brother, and Brother Lonnie, and your church, and the desire that they have to get the truth out there. And God has really blessed us with that, and I think it's amazing how the Lord put all this together, because none of us planned any of this, as far right. as my part in any of this, but the Lord had it planned, and it's exciting to see all that God has done. I mean, the geocentricity shows last week and the week before that, brother, I posted those shows also on our sermon audio page, and brother, they're getting a ton of hits over there too as well. People are fascinated, they're interested in that topic. They want to understand it better. They want to know more about God's creation, and they just want to believe the Bible, and they want to know what the Bible says, what the Word of God says plainly and clearly, and it's exciting that there's folks out there that want to learn the truth.
Right, and you know something interesting to me, and I'm not saying this to be negative toward anybody, but I have noticed something as I've talked to people about geocentricity, and I have noticed that people – who tend to be simple-minded, and when I say simple-minded, I don't mean they're stupid. I just mean maybe they don't have a very great education. They don't want to listen to it. They just, you know. But those who have a I'd say a critical mind, critical thinkers, those who've got an education are in more. I hate to sound derogatory toward anybody. But people who have a pretty good intellect about them, Christian people, they seem to be very responsive to it, and maybe it's because it's such a vast subject. But again, I find the ones who are not critical thinkers, who just believe whatever they're told. They don't want to hear anything that might challenge what they've been told. And I'm getting a good response out of it, brother. One of our listeners, and I'm not sure she's listening tonight or not, but a member of our church, and she's a nurse, and she was here last night, and she was talking about how the more she thought about it, the more it just made perfect sense, and it's really changed my perspective on this world, It really has. I'll be honest with you. It just makes me feel better knowing that that's the way God designed it all.
Amen, brother. But see, here's the thing about it. The people that I have seen that derive their authority from the Word of God, and they will actually pay attention to what the Scriptures say and believe the Bible word for word, most of those folks, now not all, but most of those folks will embrace geocentricity. They'll embrace these other subjects. They will. But the people that don't take the Word of God as their authority, and mm-hmm. and they question it, or they, you know, they're very high-minded people, like the Bible talks about, they're not gonna take the geocentricity. They're not gonna listen to geocentricity. They're gonna ignore it and go for some higher, fancier, higher learning type thing. When the Bible's very simple. That's the most fascinating thing about geocentricity. And it's simple. It's not anything complex. It really doesn't have to be. If the Bible says it, then I believe it. It's over.
Right.
I mean, even if I don't believe it, the Bible still says it. You know, that's Amen. The thing that for all of eternity that folks need to understand. Folks that are lost tonight, that if you hear this program or you hear it on a rerun, on an archive or something, you better understand one thing. Whether you believe it or not, friend, the Bible is the Word of the living God. And you're going to answer to that book someday. You will answer to
That's
that
right.
same book one day. You will not escape without answering to God one day. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, you will never escape God's Word. You will always, always be judged by His book.
Amen. That's right. God said it, and that settles it. It doesn't matter what anybody Amen. Thinks. Amen.
You
I want to get a little business out of the way. I've been wanting to do this, put out a little bit of information for folks so they can find us when we're not on the air. I want to give out our church's website if they'd like to find out a little more about Faith Baptist Church here in Paris, Texas. If you're in the East Texas, North Texas area, maybe southeastern Oklahoma, you're looking for a church. And you're looking for somewhere where people preach the Word of God and believe the Word of God and try to live the Word of God, www.theoldtimeway.com. That's pretty easy to remember, theoldtimeway.com, and you'll find out more information about our church and what we've got going on. There's also some old archives of a television show I did here locally for about 5 years, and also, there's links to this radio show, this archives of this radio show you can find there on our website. Also, I want to give the call-in number tonight for tonight's program. If you'd like to call in and be a part of the show, tonight the call-in number is 646. That's 646-915-9266. One more time, I'll give that 646-915-9266. 9266. Brother, you want to give your church's website for folks?
Sure. It's oldpathsbaptistchurch.org, and you can find us there, oldpathsbaptistchurch.org, Northfield, Minnesota. And if you type in non-501c3, if you type non-501c3 church, we're the first church that pulls up there. So you'll find us real quick there too as well. Also, you can go to our sermon audio page, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find our sermons there, and you can also go now to our YouTube channel, which is Old Paths Baptist MN, and I believe that's what it is, Old Paths Baptist MN. But anyway, I just uploaded our first service we did YouTube live with last night. And we just put that up there, and it was on Halloween. So it's there, and you can see it, and you can view some videos that we have on the 501c3 issue and everything else. You can find us there. We'll be doing more in the weeks to come here online and things like that. So we're excited about the Lord expanding our ministry like that as well.
Amen. And you're on Sermon Audio, sermonaudio.com. All somebody has to do is go to where it says Sermon by Speaker and click on C for Cooley. Scroll down, click on Jason Cooley. It'll take you to all his sermons. And I actually listened to three of your sermons this week. So I enjoyed it too, brother. You do a great job, and I really enjoy your preaching. And hopefully we're going to get ours uploaded on there in the near future, and we'll have ours on there as well. If not, you can always check us out. You can catch our I'm gonna have Brother Lonnie put the links up, and I'll give them here shortly. We broadcast our sermons live here from Faith Baptist Church on Ustream, and I'll get him to throw that link up for me. I know he'll do it here in just a second. But anyway, just want to thank God for you, brother, and what we're doing here together. And again, you know, it was just to give kind of a little backstory on how this all came to be. I was at a camp meeting and talking with Brother Gerald Finney, who's a member of your church, and we were talking about Baptist history, and he had just gone on that Baptist history tour with you, and he was just raving about you. He said, you know, you got to get to know Jason Cooley. You need to get to know him. I need to get you two together. You'd really enjoy being around each other, and on and on and on. And I kept thinking, who in the world is this Jason Cooley guy he won't hush about? You know, but you know, God was working through him, brother. He was using him, and I kept thinking. Actually, your name is very similar to another guy that I used to know, and I didn't like him. And I kept thinking, I'm not going to like this Jason Cooley. He sounds like this other guy. And but sure enough, God worked it out. He worked it out. And let me give that link for our the Sunday morning broadcast for Faith Baptist Church. The link is www.ustream, that's the letter U, ustream.tv/the old time way. That is ustream.tv/the old time way, and you can catch our Sunday morning services. But anyway, we need to hurry up. We're going to run out of time here if we don't get into our wake up segment. Again, one of the reasons we do this go ahead. You got something?
Oh, I was going to say, time gets away from us real quick.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, it's not. I mean, you got two Baptist preachers here. It's not hard to get us talking about something and running rabbit trail. We're famous for that. But
hey,
but we are. Let me just put it like this: about 8 years ago, I got burdened about what I saw happening in my country. I really got burdened, and I started digging. The more I found, the worse it got. And, you know, I did a lot of reading of conspiracy stuff, and believe it or not, I just happened to say to myself, you know, this stuff could be very much true. At the time, I mean, we were in the middle of the Bush administration. It wasn't long after, it wasn't long after 9/11, and, you know, and people began to ask questions about 9/11. There were a lot of conspiracy stuff about that. And the more I read, the more it made sense to me that something had gone wrong there. And again, I began to remember Waco. I began to remember Ruby Ridge. I started putting these things together and thinking to myself for the very first time, could our government actually be lying to us? It was just unconscionable that it was really taking place. I mean, I had grown up in this safe little world and thought that everything was like it was told to me. And that's the way people are. We grow up in this environment, and we think that surely they're not going. These people we elect are not going to lie to us. I mean, yeah, they're a little bit corrupt, but they're not out to destroy us. But then you have this very stark realization that, wait a minute. This is Satan's system, and these people are pawns in his game. And that's what the Bible teaches, that this world is Satan's, it's under Satan's control. And, you know, the more I began to look at things from scriptural vantage point, the more I began to see how ugly things really were. And so I'm afraid that there are many, many people out there today who are in churches. I mean, they're saved, but they're ignorant, and I say ignorant in a loving way. They're not knowledgeable of what's really going on because they're still hanging on to that. You know, it's all going to work out somehow. And brother, I know you had one of those reality moments somewhere back yonder, and that's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing this wake up segment. And I'm going to let you start us off. I kind of dominated it last week. So start us off with something we need to wake up about.
Well, brothers, it's interesting when you look at, you had one senator up there that was trying to filibuster what was going on there, and you know, he's a senator from Texas, and he was trying to filibuster, but I'm not even going to concentrate on him, because there's a few different theories about what his motivation was and everything else like that. To me, that's not important right now. What's really important is the response of the Republican Party. John McCain pretty much gave the response of the Democrat Party as a Republican, which tells me they're all the same. And what he was like was, mm-hmm. he basically told him, go home and shut up and sit down and you know, this is the bill we have. The American people have spoken. They voted for Obama twice. And you know, I'm sorry, but you're just done. Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter where you go or how you try to fight it. This is the law. And sure, we'll try to this. Listen, it's complacency. But there's another trick going on here that I want you to wake up to and really concentrate on. See, they don't want to vote for cloture. They want to vote for this cloture. They want to push everything through, okay? If they push everything through, then the vote goes in and there's no debate on it or whatever, and it just gets shoved through. And then they have to accept what they're given. See, they don't want to debate that. They don't want to sit. They don't. Harry Reid doesn't want to debate that. He wants it pushed through. So then they could say, "Well, then the Republicans have a cover now, and they could say, "Well, we didn't really vote for it.
Right.
We voted against it. See, it came up, and we voted against it. Yeah, but see, now here's the trick. You voted for it to go forward, though, with that amendment in it, with funding Obamacare in it. You voted to push it forward." I mean, so it's a game. These people are crooked, and 90% of them or 95% of them are all on the same team, the devils. That's
right.
The team that they're on. I get a lot of flack. I got people that get upset with me and say, you really believe that Congress is full of a bunch of devil-possessed psychopaths?
Absolutely.
Sociopaths? Yes, I do. I certainly do. When you can vote for unlimited funds for wars, when you're fine with it, when you vote to take freedom away, when you take states' rights away, when you try to take children out of their parents' homes, when you give authority to people like that, when you take authority, when you fund everything wicked under the sun, yeah. Yeah,
when you try to control people's lives by forcing them to accept something that they absolutely stand morally against and stand on the Bible against. I look at these companies. I mean, they may be corporations and like Home Depot and Chick-fil-A and there are others around this country that are Christian ran. I mean, they're run by born again believers. I read somewhere recently that the owner of Hobby Lobby is considering shutting down his entire operation rather than accept, you know, Obamacare and have to pay for abortion, birth control and morning after pills and subsidize people's abortions. He said he'd rather just shut the business down. You know, I mean, I applaud the guy for that.
Well, it's just it, brother. It's happening all over the country. People are being forced to this. Businesses are telling them, hey, guess what? We're going to shut down. We're going to limit your hours to 29 hours a week. We can't afford this. We know we can't afford it, and we're just gonna shut it down. We can't do it. We'll hire a bunch of different people for different times. We'll go to all part-time income, which is where America's at right now, is a bunch of part-time income. These new jobs and all this other stuff that's going on, it's a big fake is what it is. The jobs are these little jobs for people that have to work two jobs just to try to make it, and they're not even making as much money.
Right.
You know, they're not even making as much money.
They're fleecing us. They're fleecing us,
right,
brother. That's
I preached a message a while back called Bread and Circuses, and really it was on, you know, I was talking about football and a few other things, but it wasn't, hey, if you watch football, you're the worst Christian in the world. The focus of it wasn't on that. It was the distraction. It can be football. It can be Olympics. It could be videos. It could be Facebook. It could be anything. It doesn't matter what it is. If something is taking your eye off of what's going on in the world, then it's wrong. If something is taking your eye off of Jesus Christ, and when I mean the world, I don't mean following the world when I say that. What I mean is following Christ and letting him navigate you through this world, not being not falling for Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh's games and these other guys, you know, not falling for politicians, or but following the Lord and following the Word of God and the truth. If something has captivated you so, then they are sins and chains that so easily beset you. And God's people are the worst at it right now. They are so entertainment driven. If they don't wake up, their whole family is going to be consumed.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it's going to happen while they're doing, while they're just being entertained, they're going to wake up one day. And they need to wake up now. That's what I'm saying. We've got to get people to wake up now. I don't know what we could do. I really don't know what we can do, but speak up. That's the only thing that I know that you can do. Speak up. Listen, I learned a long time ago, folks, if you want to change this world, you better get to preaching the Word of God. If you want to change somebody, tell them about Jesus. If you want to, I mean, preach against sin. I mean, stand for something. You can't change them. You can't change them through the barrel of a gun. You cannot change them, by screaming obscenities at them. The only way you can change them is to give them the gospel. That's it. You overcome them with the blood of the Lamb. I mean, you've got to make them one of us. That's the only way that we can get them into our camp is by getting them saved. That's it. And Christians have got to stand for something, or we're going to fall. And I mean, I just see Christianity get weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker. It's just sickening. It's absolutely sickening. I preached last night a message on repentance and separation. And
amen.
You know, over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where Paul talked about the result of, you know, those Corinthian churches' repentance, and you know what, you know, they had a clearing of themselves. They wanted to show that something had changed in them. That clearing of themselves.
I preached on that too.
They wanted people to know that, hey, there's something different about me. I'm not the same as I was before. And you know, you cannot go and I mean, listen. I preached on the straight gate and the narrow way, and I know you have too. And you know, we come in that straight gate, and that's Jesus' blood. There's only one way through that gate. That's Christ. But listen, once you get through that gate, you're on that narrow path, and we can't turn around and sit and look over the gate door back at the fields of sin and walk anywhere with Jesus. You just can't get anywhere that way. And there are so many Christians out there today who are just accepting whatever because, listen, the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And if there was ever a time that iniquity is it's abounding now. And people's love for Christ is growing colder and colder and colder and colder. And that's why America's crumbling, because Christian people have been the backbone of this nation. And we've got osteoporosis, brother.
Yeah, it's exactly what it is, brother. There's so much anemic behavior. I mean that in a spiritual sense, spiritually anemic. Where, I mean, people, they just can't stand any longer. They're so weak. And it's because, I my firm conviction is it's because of the lack of the Word of God in the churches today, and a lack of teaching, and a lack of pastors really standing up and preaching the Word of God and edifying the saints, and mm-hmm. understanding that, hey, listen, your job is, yes, to go evangelize the lost. That's part of the church. That's what we do. But as far as the assembly goes, we preach and edify them and build them in the faith. And Paul said in Romans 13, to awake out of sleep. It is high time to awake out of sleep. Wake up. This world, I mean, you know, it's interesting. I was looking at an article of the Drudge Report here, too, as well. And I don't know how long we have before our break. But
About 6 minutes. Thanks.
Okay, we do. Okay, good. I got time to talk about this then. You know, the state, the NSA was, they were, way back in Lyndon B. Johnson's time, they were spying on Muhammad Ali and Martin Luther King Jr. They, you know, these, and I say that because you have a president that's standing up, who I liken to Nimrod, by the way, but he's except shorter. He's standing up, and he has basically allowed getting cover by the Democratic Party. But don't make no mistake about it. George Bush is just as bad. So I'm not defending George Bush. But but when George Bush did it, you had a whole mess of people, the media and everybody after him. Where are these people now that are standing up? Where are these people now that are in the media that are supposed to stand up and say, listen, you can't spy on people like this. You can't do this. I'm tell you what, friends, let's be honest. If you're not going to chain the beast, which is government, which the Bible says is the government is a beast, all through the book of Daniel, all through anything else, we see it.
Right.
And government, if you don't chain that beast and starve that beast, right now that beast is so big that it eats chains up, and you're not going to stop it. I'll be honest with you, brother. I don't believe you can stop the federal government now. I don't believe you can.
No, it's out of control. Absolutely out of control.
The people have lost control of their government. They're no longer scared of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're no longer scared of us anymore. You know, when people were scared of us, when the government was scared of us, the people weren't scared.
Right.
But now you have it in reverse, brother. You have people that are scared of their government. We should be looking at them and say, you know what? You're going to be fired, and we don't have to put up with this. You can't go around stealing. You can't print money out of thin air. You can't do the things you're doing and get away with it. But they're not scared of us any longer.
Right. Got to raise our voices, brother. We've got to wake up. I'm telling you, it's time to wake up, stand up, and speak up, or they will lock you up. They will shut you up, and they will lock you up.
Well, then that's what's next. As soon as preachers and people like that are locked up, as soon as that happens, brother, you can put a fork in America because it's done. Because once the prophets are shut up, once they're shut up and they're not given a chance to speak any longer, and they're not only given a chance to speak, but they're persecuted against, strongly persecuted against, then what you find then left is nothing but a destroyed country, because God's not going to forgive that innocent blood that's been shed for so many years here. There's a day of reckoning.
That's absolutely right, brother. It's coming, too. It's really coming. And, you know, years ago, I used to wonder if it would happen in my lifetime. But I'm almost assured now that it's going to happen in my lifetime. I made up my mind a good while back that I will more than likely die for what I believe in. And I'm okay with that. If that's what God has for me, then that's what will happen. I'm not saying that that's what I wish for. I don't have a death wish. I'm not begging God to make me a martyr. I'm simply saying I'm not going to budge. And I know you are also one who will not budge. And I know many others who will not budge. And, you know, but there's a lot of them out there right now who will. They'll cave because they don't stand. They've not yet found their courage. And that's why, listen, you know, there's an old quote, and I'm going to say this, and then we'll go to break. There's an old quote by Mark Twain, you know, and he said, in the beginning of a change, a patriot is a scarce man. And I can't remember all of it, but he said, but in time, even the weak join him. I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember it all. But in time, others join him because I can't even remember the quote. You know the quote? You know the one I'm talking about?
I don't, brother.
I'm losing the thought. Let me think. In the beginning of a change, a patriot is a scarce man, hated and scorned, but in time others join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. That's what it is. Mm. But in the beginning, it's hard to stand. It's hard to. But we're calling people to wake up. We're calling some people. We're calling some men who have a backbone, who are not afraid. Men who will stand for God and not bend in the face of fear. I'm going to tell you, I was reading this quote, and I think you were the one that posted it the other day on Facebook, where it said there was something that made children rejoice and sing praises as they were torn asunder in the mouths of lions. There was something go ahead.
I'm going to preach a message. I'm doing a Baptist history conference next week at a church, and I'm preaching a message called The Baptist People, and it's a prophecy of persecution, it's called. And I want to talk about that these people would rejoice when they were on fire. They would sing praises to God as they're being burned to death at the stake. And,
right.
You know, it's just, it's a grace from God that he gives.
Right. Well, brother, we need to take a break. We're going to get back with this Wake Up segment here in just a minute, but we're going to take a break with the Marksman Quartet. This is My Crowd, right here on the Old Paths Broadcast. Marksman Quartet here on the Old Paths Broadcast. Those are good friends of mine, and they are out of Murraysville, Georgia, up in the northeastern corner of Georgia. Brother Mark Wheeler and his dad and some of the other guys there, they're just great folks, and pray for them. They're trying to reach folks with the gospel. Mark Wheeler is one of the finest gospel preachers that I know of. And he's got his heart in the right place, and they do things for God's honor and glory. So pray for the Marksman Quartet, and visit them online. You can find them. Just type it. Just Google Marksman Quartet, and you'll find them. But anyway, let's get back to it, Brother Cooley. Where you at, Brother Cooley? Let's see if we can get you back over here with us. But anyway, Brother Cooley, you there?
I'm out of my box.
Okay. Somebody forgot to open the lid. That's what happened, see? But anyway, let's get back to this thing. Wake up! Were you screaming on mute? But anyway, one other thing I wanted to hit on tonight before we get into tonight's show, which I know there are probably some people who have tuned in and they're like, when are they going to get to the show? Tonight we're talking about aliens, and We're going to talk about spacemen, spaceships, you name it. And you find all that you want to know about it in the King James Bible. And Brother Cooley has preached a series of sermons on it. It's fascinating stuff. And I think we need to bring it out and let him go through what he's taught. And we'll talk about it tonight here on the program. But anyway, something that I found I found it on Facebook today. And it was an article that was written. And the title of the article is "The Secret Meeting That Changed Rap Music and Destroyed a Generation." And I know some people may say, "Why in the world, preacher, why do you care about rap music?" And I don't care about rap music, but I do care about teenagers. I do care about our young people in this world. And I do care about this next generation that's coming up. And this article was written. It doesn't give the name of the person that wrote it, but I will tell you that he was from Europe. He came to the United States. He was a powerful man in the music industry. And this was right around 1991. He was invited to attend a closed-door meeting with a small group of music business insiders, and they were going to discuss rap music's new direction that it was going in. And up until that point, you had MC Hammer and others like that. And I mean, it was very lighthearted. You had Run DMC. And I know you're saying, why do you care about all this? Well, again, I'm getting to something. You had Run DMC. You had Will Smith, who was Fresh Prince and all that. It was lighthearted. It was kind of a Bill Cosby-ish hip-hop type culture. It wasn't dangerous. But then something happened in 1991, and this meeting, this guy said, he said that it was held on the outskirts of Los Angeles. There was about 25 to 30 people there. He said, but there was a small group of unfamiliar people, and they stayed to themselves, and they didn't socialize with them at this. And then it came down to it, one of the men came forward, and he gave them all these confidentiality agreements. And some people left, but he was intrigued, and he signed the confidentiality agreement. And then things went from bad to worse. So he found out who these people were. They were investors in privately owned prisons in America. And their point was that they wanted their prisons filled. That's how they made money for their investors. And so they were turning to the rap music industry to change the culture and bring in the criminal element in order to promote crime, in order to tear down inner cities, in order to bring about crime all across America to fill their prisons. And I know that seems really far out, but it is really the type thing that goes on in the music industry. And Brother Cooley's preached a number of sermons here lately about rock music, and from what he has preached and from what he has discovered and what I've learned and what I've known for years, the music industry is extremely and extremely evil. It is satanic. Its basis is in the teachings of Aleister Crowley, wickedness beyond belief. Every form of wickedness and ungodliness goes through the music industry. And so the music industry is used to promote the idea of crime in America. And since that time, gangster rap and all of its trappings has had a detrimental effect, not just on inner city black America, but on suburban white America as well. And even as I sit here tonight doing this radio show, I can hear the loud booming of bass. The car stereo is going by this church building, and they're not singing about happy stuff, folks. They're singing about sin, pure evil sin. And what has happened here lately? What I'm getting to. And then I'm going to hush, and I'm going to let Brother Cooley take over this thing and talk to us and start this thing on UFOs and aliens. But the point is, this music industry is primarily the rap music industry. In the last decade, has taken an even more sinister turn. as the Illuminati, and whether you believe it or not, it exists. All one has to do is do a little research, and you'll find out it is very real. It is the powers, you know, when the Bible talks about spiritual wickedness in high places, that's what we're talking about. These people who are controlled by devils. They absolutely, their minds, their souls, their lives, everything they do, they are the most wicked of the wicked, and they control the movers and the shakers of this world. Men like George Soros and Rupert Murdoch and the powerful players of this world and the people behind them. We're talking about evil, evil, evil men. And they have influenced the rap musicians. And I'm talking about, and I'm going to name names. Listen, there are people like Jay-Z. And I don't listen to these people, folks, but I do read. I do read, and I'm not a hip pastor who tries to stay current for his young people to feel, you know, socially viable or whatever. No, I've researched this stuff so that I have my head out of the sand and I know what's going on. But people like Jay-Z, Sean Combs, who's went by Puff Daddy and Puffy and all these different monikers he has. Jay-Z's wife, Beyonce Knowles, who was in Destiny's Child. You've got Rhiannon. And I know she's not in rap, but Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus. All these people are influenced by the Illuminati, and they flash their Illuminati signs. They have brought Illuminati symbols and ideology into the mainstream of music. And impressionable teenage minds are captivated by this idea of tapping into this dark secret power and being able to use that for their own personal gain. And these ideas of, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to get all I can, I'm going to have all I can, I'm going to take what I want, and I'm going to use this dark power to get it, is being pushed upon this nation's children. And we've got a nation full of parents who are not paying close attention to what their children are into. And I'm telling you, folks, you better wake up. You better get in your children's bedrooms. You better look and see what they're listening to. You better ask questions. You better dig through drawers. And you say, well, I'd never do that to my kids. Well, you're going to lose your kids if you don't pay attention to what they're into. You have got to pay attention. You've got to listen. I was just looking today, and there's an article that I read, and there was a young man. I don't have it in front of me. I can just tell you about it. There was a man who was told some young girls that he could get them into the Illuminati, and he had told them that in order to be initiated into the Illuminati, they would have to have sex with him. They would have to fornicate with him, and if they did, then he could get them hooked up into the Illuminati. And I'm not going to go into all the horrible details, but he did some pretty vile things before they finally left. And that's not a one time thing. That's type of thing is happening across this nation. People are promising, hey, you know, I can get you in with the Illuminati and you can have power, but you've got to do this or you've got to do that. There's a reason why little Hannah Montana became Miley Cyrus. She took the bait. There's a reason why little Mickey Mouse Club Britney Spears became the whore she is today. There's a reason why all these people who were sweet little innocent children have become these vile, filthy acting animals. It's because they took that bait and that promise. And all these young, impressionable kids are seeing this opportunity to be like that. And I'm telling you, parents, we better wake up, because there is a horrible, horrible, dark, menacing force that is preying upon our children. Brother Cooley, you got any thoughts on that before we move on?
Brother, it's so true, and the war is multifaceted. It's not just one front. I mean, we have to be on our guard in every way. But I really believe one of the reasons why people are not on their guard as much as they should be is because pastors are not from the pulpit. They are not preaching on these sins, and they are not nailing these things. Like I brought that sermon out here last week about just on Sunday I preached voodoo beats from rock music. That's exactly what those are, voodoo beats that are in there, and you can't Christianize those beats in that. And listen, in any kind of music like that, you cannot say, well, I'm going to Christianize voodoo music. No, you can't Christianize the devil's music. You can't do it. These people were fully understood. I have quotes in that sermon. If you listen to that sermon on voodoo music, voodoo religion of rock music, if you listen to that sermon, I have their quotes. So these people are saying they got all this from voodoo. All these, the Rolling Stones, all these guys, the Voodoo Lounge Tour, all of these things, they admit it. They don't deny it. This is where it comes from. And they understand it, the cultic aspects of it and everything. They know it full well, full well.
Amen. That's right. Well, brother, I tell you what, folks need to wake up. They really do.
Amen.
They need to wake up and pay attention, because I'm telling you, it's sneak up on you. It will sneak into your household, and before you know it, your kids are slipping away from you. But listen, we've had another lie perpetrated on us. And that is this whole alien conspiracy. And, you know, as we talked earlier today, you know, I confessed, I had a confession to make that I'm one of the few people in America that never saw E.T. And at this point in my life, I can probably honestly say I will never see it. I never watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I do believe I watched Invasion of the Body Snatchers. I was taken to a drive-in theater when I was a young kid. But anyway, you know, I've seen this alien stuff all my life, and you know, it's everywhere. It's mainstream. People accept it, and you know, I mean, brother, I don't know. You get into it tonight. Let's start us off tonight.
All right, brother. Well, here's where we got to start. We got to understand, what is the fascination with this? What is the fascination with aliens and everything else? What is this in the last 50 years or so of Hollywood movies and everything else? Why has there been such a concentration on aliens? And where did they come? Where did this talk come from? And where does it originate? Well, in order to understand that, we've got to really understand something called the fourth dimension. The Bible talks of there being four dimensions, not just one dimension, not just three dimensions is what we believe, but four dimensions. The Bible is very clear that there are these four dimensions, and the Bible calls it the height. It calls it the height. And understand this, that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle of our lives right now. And this world is in a spiritual battle. It always has been. God's people have always been in a battle. The Apostle Paul said it right when he said, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, you'll notice there's four things there that the Apostle Paul talks about. Those four things are very important, because those four things are telling us about another thing that is very important with the number four, and that's a fourth kingdom that shall arise. In Daniel chapter 2 and verse number 40, the Bible says, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay."
That's interesting.
That is speaking of a fourth kingdom that will arise, a fourth kingdom that will come. Mm-hmm. Now, in that fourth kingdom, it is a spiritual kingdom. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 23 tells us this. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So, we're going to get to that in a little while, but what it's talking about is, in the last 50 years, we have seen a rise of paranormal activity. Now, what you and I would call it is spirit world activity. We would call it the fourth dimension. We would call it that spirit world activity. It has been strong. The occult has been very strong over the last 100 years, and it's growing in strength. You have the rise of the Masonic, the rise of the Masonic order. You have the rise of the other things and the spirit and drugs and everything else mixed into it. Now, during this time, Brother Brandon, what we've seen is we've seen this desire to make first contact. Now, people, you always see this in movies. You know, first contact. You got to make first contact. First contact. They want to make contact with an alien world, with aliens. Now, listen, there's no such thing as aliens, and that's what this whole teaching is about. And I hope we have time to get through it all tonight. We may not. We may have to come back and visit UFOs and chariots on another UFOs, the chariots of God, at another time. We may not be able to really cover that in this teaching. But the one thing I will start is with the fourth dimension here. We're going to start by looking at what the fourth dimension is. Job talks about it in Job chapter 22 and verse number 12. He says this, "Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are." So he's talking about, is not God, God is in the height of heaven. That's just not, now there's no way that we can, well, just keep going up and up and up and then you'll reach God. No, God's in another dimension.
Right.
God dwells in the fourth dimension. The spirit world's in a fourth dimension.
Right. He's a spirit.
That's right. Amen. Psalms 102, verse 19 says this, "For he hath looked down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth." Psalm 148, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights." So there again, we have that height that's there. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 3. "The heaven for height and the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable." Interesting.
Right.
"I believe that Jesus was taken up to an exceeding high place and showed all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, like the Word of God says. I believe he was taken up to the spirit world. I believe he was shown this." What temptation that was, that you and I can see that the Lord went through for us, but Jesus took that temptation, and he went into that, and Satan showed him that. Where did he take him to? The spirit world, I believe.
He couldn't have showed him all the kingdoms. I mean, even if he got him on the highest mountain, he couldn't have showed him all the kingdoms of the earth. I mean, there's no way possible that he could have, because there's nowhere high enough where you can see the whole earth on the earth.
Amen. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse number 11 says this, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." In the depth or the height above.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Now remember what Satan said? He said in his heart, "I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High."
Right.
He's going to ascend into the height. He's going to ascend into there. "I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds." He's telling us that Satan desires to be God. He's going to go up to the height of heaven, and he's going to dwell in that fourth dimension. He's going to set his throne there, and he's going to claim himself to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Apostle Paul explains this, this height, this fourth dimension. He said, "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height." So he speaks of the height. He speaks of that other dimension, that fourth dimension, which is very interesting. that fourth dimension, that fourth kingdom, that fourth number keeps coming up, diverse from all other kingdoms, diverse from everything. So, I mean, we see these fourth dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Now, brother, you're gonna get into something different here in just a minute. But I just wanted to say we got a caller on the line. I wanted to before we shift gears or we go a little further into this fourth dimension, and I wanted to let him in before we take a break. We're gonna take a break here in just a few. So I figured we'd have a little bit of time right before break. And we're going to bring in our caller. We got a caller on the line from North Carolina. His name's David. And David, what you got for us tonight?
Well, I just want to talk a little bit about the alien thing and the music. Did you know there's actually people out there who actually pray to aliens?
Mm. Wow. I don't doubt that.
Sorry, go ahead.
I just said I don't doubt that.
There's actually this really satanic song by this atheist artist from back in the 70s, where he makes a mock hymn-like where he says, I'm praying to the aliens over and over again.
Well, there's been a lot of that. Yeah, there's been a lot of that. I mean, I think when Norman Greenbaum sang, I'm going up to the spirit in the sky, I don't think he was talking about God either.
No, he was talking about spirit, but it wasn't the right one.
Exactly. Exactly. And there was another song that is not as well known, by a guy named Billy Thorpe. He sang about children of the sun, singing about aliens coming down to Earth and taking people up to a better place.
That reminds me, there's this supposedly Christian artist named Larry Norman. Have you ever heard of him?
No,
I haven't.
He's an old so-called Christian rock artist. And he has a song called UFO where he says that Jesus is like an alien, and he's going to come down and get us. He really has that kind of blasphemy on one of his songs.
Wow.
A few years ago, right after he died, they found out that he was had affairs and did all kinds of disgusting acts, so he was no Christian.
Right. Well, Brother Cooley's got several sermons on Sermon Audio about rock music and contemporary Christian music. Have you got some of them? Lay me in.
And I really enjoyed your episode you did on rock music. I would really like more episodes on rock music because I know tons of people who love the Beatles and Nirvana, and I really think those bands should be covered more in possibly another episode on rock music because they are just completely satanic. I used to listen to some of them. I just can't stand him now.
Right. Well, David, I came out of a life of playing rock music, and Brother Cooley's got a pass too. We both got pass we're not proud of, but yeah, I tell you what, brother, we'll pray about that, and we'll definitely consider doing some more on that because we've only scratched the surface. But brother, we're glad you called in tonight. We're gonna have to let you go because we're gonna take a break here in just a second, but. Well, we're glad you called in tonight, glad you're listening, and want to encourage you in the faith. Just keep standing for the Lord Jesus and let others know. Don't be bashful. Be brave about it and tell people around you and let them wake them up to the truth, brother. All right. Well, Jason, Brother Cooley.
Yes, sir.
Well, Lonnie done kicked him off. But anyway, we're glad he called in tonight. And anyway, before we go, we got about a minute before we go to break. So when we get back, we're talking about this fourth dimension. And the fourth dimension, like you said, it's really the spirit world. And a lot of people don't want to talk about that. A lot of Baptist preachers don't want to preach about that. And it's because they don't know what they're talking about. And you know, when all you know is all you can eat buffet line down at the pizza place, and you know, that summed up a whole lot of Baptist preachers' week right there. Coffee shops and newspapers. And I mean, when you don't dig, when you don't get into the Word of God, when all you're worried about is a pizza party and skating rinks and football games, when all you care about is just what's going on right in your one little old world right there, and, you know, going by patting the people on the head and letting them know that you – thinking about them. Listen, there's more. You got to feed your people, and your people are starved to death if you don't get into the Word of God and dig and give them some truth. Brother Cooley, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break, and we're going to play our theme song in its entirety right here on the Old Paths broadcast. Stack Them Stones, One on Another, the Marksman Quartet, and we'll be back right here in just a moment on the Old Paths broadcast.
Joshua called 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones, one on another. Stacked them stones. Stack them stones, one on another. Stack them stones for you and me, for the Jubilee. Well, God called men in my lifetime who waited in the water for me. They wrestled out many a message in the memorial be. Well, one by one they stacked up truth before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. What we preach till the day that we die, till the day that we die. Stack them stones, one on another. Stack them stones for all to see. Stack them stones, one on another. Stack them stones for you and me, for the children to see.
Stones. That's our theme song here on the Old Paths broadcast, and I really, really love that song. And a good friend named Jonathan Edmiston from Statesboro, Georgia, Baptist preacher from down there, wrote that song. And we need to leave our children something. We need to leave, you know, those 12 stones. That's why they built that on the other side of the Jordan River, so the children of Israel could always go back and see that God had brought them across, that God had brought them into the promised land, and we need to show, we need to leave something. That's what we're trying to do here on this program. That's what me and Brother Cooley are trying to do. We're trying to leave something for people to be able to look back on and say, hey, somebody stood. Our children need to be able to look back and see that we stood for something. We didn't just hand this thing over to the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So, brother, take us away. Where were we at? We were
all
in
right,
the fourth
brother,
dimension.
Well, listen. Yeah, let's talk about some of those things in the fourth dimension quickly, because we're going to move on to Aleister Crowley and why what's the deal with the gray alien that's in every alien movie and all those things. What's the deal with all those? Why are they there?
Right.
And we're going to look at that and where'd that come from, that gray alien? And it came from the devil, rest assured. But we're going to show you how and why and everything else like that. But there's some principles of this fourth dimension that we need to talk about here. So you can understand it's there. Science understands these things. But the Bible, the King James Bible, had the answer to this long ago. The Bible had the truth of it in there a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, let's start with this. When Jesus was taken up to the clouds, he was received out of their sight. Where did he go? Well, he went to the fourth dimension. But understand this, a fourth-dimensional object is not bound by three-dimensional space. So
right.
when people look at Jesus in the Bible, when Jesus is walking on the water, why can he walk on the water? Well, we know he's God, we understand that, but he can walk on the water because Jesus could go into the fourth dimension. He could go into the fourth dimension, he could go into the spirit. A fourth dimensional object is not bound by three dimensional space. We see that when we see the four in the fire, when we see the three in the fire, and then hey, guess what? We see a fourth one in the fire. That's the Son of, like unto the Son of God. Remember that?
Right.
There's that number four again. That spirit. That number four. And what did Jesus do? Jesus, or the angel of the Lord, there took them, and what did he do? He put them in the fourth dimension, that fire, so the fire they couldn't even feel it. They couldn't feel the flames. They didn't smell like smoke. How do you answer that? Well, it's a miracle from God, we understand, but we also understand that he put them in the fourth dimension. That's what he did. He just put them there, and a fourth dimensional object is not bound by three dimensional space. So that's how that works. That's the Lord showing you this principle right there in the King James Bible. I don't need a scientist or a professor to show me that. I have the Word of God that shows me that very clearly. So
right.
I think it's fascinating. Jesus passing through walls and other things like that he did, passing through the midst of the crowd and everything like that, just fascinating to see. All right, next, Matthew chapter 14, verse number 25. This is interesting. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now notice, there's that number four again. You know, numbers in the Bible mean something. They
right.
mean something. They're not there by accident. They mean something. They show us something and they teach us something. And this number four comes up again on the fourth watch. He entered into that
mm-hmm.
fourth dimension. Now, here's a fascinating another thing that scientists and understanding of the fourth dimension, what they believe is upon entering the fourth dimension, you become your opposite or mirror image. So that's one principle that we see upon entering the fourth dimension. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, it says this, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What is
mm-hmm.
that saying? That's saying that the barrier between dimensions is like a mirror or a water surface. We'll get to that in a second. But the one thing this tells us is, hey, friend, when Jesus comes, we will be like him.
Right.
When we look at what we see him as, we'll be like him when he appears.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be just like Christ. We
right.
won't have this old sinful, wicked flesh anymore. We'll be made new. We won't be subject to this wicked old body anymore. We'll be made new.
Amen.
Because we see the opposite now. When we look at
right.
him, we see perfection. When we look at us, we see the imperfection.
Right. When you're reading the Word of God, you're looking into that other dimension.
Amen.
Amen. You, I mean, isn't that something? You can sit down in the morning with a cup of coffee and enter another dimension.
That's right. That's right. You can see God has revealed that in His Word. He's revealed that other dimension right there. Now, the barrier between dimensions is likened to a mirror, a watery surface. In Job chapter 37 and verse number 18, the Bible says this, "As thou with him spread out the sky, which is strong and as a molten looking glass." Interesting, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 6 says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." That's that molten looking glass. That's that looking glass in a different dimension. It appears into like a watery type of a surface. You ever notice how on now you don't watch this stuff and neither do I, but I did when I was lost, and you see little blips of it here and there. But on those shows like Stargate and other things like that, they always show this murky, watery thing before the Stargate.
Right.
When you enter into that gate. You know, it's fascinating when you see that. It's fascinating when you see that, because it's what they're really doing is showing you what another dimension looks like. That's what they're doing.
I've
seen it. They're showing dimensions. Yeah, it's pretty powerful stuff. They show it in a lot of shows. If you remember, you know, you probably never watched this, but when I was a kid, I watched Land of the Lost.
Oh, yeah, with the sleigh stacks.
Them scary-looking little sleigh stacks.
Yeah, they ran like 2 miles an hour. And never could catch anybody.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, those sleeve stacks. But anyway,
they're trying to get the colored rocks. Yeah, I remember that show. I liked that show, even though it was wrong.
I got a friend named Shane. He reminds me of a sleeve stack sometimes. But anyway,
Shane's online talking about you while we're talking. So
I thought I had to give him that a little bit. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 8. And the next thing that I think is fascinating is this. These beasts that are around the throne of God, they are not figurative as of nations that we've heard and all these. This fourth dimension, that fourth dimension will enter one day into this realm. And witches understand that around Halloween time, the veil is thin between the spirit world, and they like to consult familiar spirits and astral project and things like that. That time of the year. That stuff's real, folks. Listen, would you get into your Bible and understand, if there were familiar spirits in the Word of God and the Bible talked about them, and people that were witches and warlocks and sorcerers and everything else and acted in divination and were devil-possessed, that there are people now like that as well? We just tend to dismiss all that. We dismiss all those things because we're too scared to talk about it. We're too scared to tell the truth that the devil is working nonstop. That's why the Apostle Paul said, "Take unto you the whole armor of God. Get that sword of the Spirit out." And by the way, if you're not using a King James Bible and you speak English in this country and you understand the Word of God and you're using NIV and you're using ASV and all these other versions, you don't have the inspired, perfect, infallible Word of God. You have a faulty sword that is going to fall. It is going to break in half. Cannot fight the devil with a faulty sword.
Amen.
It ain't gonna work.
That's right.
Anyway,
go ahead.
Here's another one for you, brother. Fourth dimensional object casts a three dimensional shadow. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse number 5, the Bible says, "Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed thee to thee in the mount." All of those things that were made, that God told Moses and gave him instructions of how to make, was a shadow of what's in heaven. Somebody said, I think God took the Ark of the Covenant up to heaven. What for? He didn't need one there. He already had the throne of God. He already had the cherubims around him. You think he needed that covered his throne, the seraphims? God did not need and does not need that earthly, that three-dimensional Ark of the Covenant. He's in heaven on the throne of God, and he doesn't need that. He's in the dimension, and he doesn't need that. He has the real thing, and it casts a three-dimensional shadow here.
Right. God doesn't need a thing. If God needed anything, everything would go poof and it would be gone. It would be gone because he'd cease to be God. So yeah.
Well, that also, the other thing that shows you is that works cannot save a man. The
Amen.
Law could never save a man. Keeping the law never saved a man. Keeping the law never saved a man. Now it'll never save a man in the future. Jesus Christ had to provide salvation. God Almighty from the throne of God had to provide salvation, provide himself a sacrifice. He had to provide himself a lamb, that spotted lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Without it, you don't have salvation. You've got a shadow. I don't want the shadow, my friend. I want Jesus Christ. He's the only thing that satisfies.
Amen. That is absolutely right there.
All right, so moving right along here, so we keep going here. Those are the kind of the principles and the scriptural principles of a fourth dimension. Now, the next piece of this puzzle is important. It's the fourth kingdom.
Okay.
We read those verses in Daniel chapter 2. This fourth kingdom is strong, and shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron. For as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. Now I'm going to stop for a second here, and I want to tell you something about this. In Genesis chapter 6, we saw the sons of God came in under the daughters of men. The sons of God were fallen angels that came in under the daughters of men, and they bear them children. They bear them mighty men, men of old, men of renown. They were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, and the Bible talks about and explains that, that happened. Now because of man's sin and because of the intervention of those, God caused a flood to come on the earth. And God flooded the whole earth and destroyed the seed because there was only one pure seed left, and that was Noah.
Mm-hmm.
That was Noah. And Noah was righteous in his generations. By the way, generations is talking about the genes of the man as well. He was saying that Noah wasn't tainted with that. Now, I don't have time to get into all that tonight. If I get into that tonight, we'll miss it. I tried to do a show on that before, but the internet, the devil, and everybody else was after me when I tried to do that show on the sons of God.
Oh, yeah.
And the daughter. So, we had the devil fighting us nonstop. But let me say this. That was a shadow of what's coming, of that fourth kingdom. The Bible says this, and as the toes, the Bible says that fourth kingdom that shall arise, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another. Now, this upsets people because they say, oh, come on, you believe in the sons of God, the daughters of men. You believe it. Yes, I believe it because the Bible says it. And
absolutely.
I can prove it with Scripture. I can prove it with Scripture, by the way, and I have no problem doing that. I'm just not going to do that in this session. But I can prove it in another teaching. Anyway, by the way, it says here that they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Now, this is not talking about aliens. All right? Aliens are a satanic deception. Aliens are not real. However, it is talking about fallen angels, I believe, in that fourth kingdom, that spirit world that is to come, that spirit world that is coming to this, that's going to leave that dimension. And it's going to come here and wreak havoc. Its kingdom is diverse from all kingdoms of the earth. There has never been a kingdom like it, but that kingdom is coming. And it will be, notice they mingle their seed with the seed of men. Now, I believe that's the Antichrist coming. That's the kingdom of the Antichrist that comes on this earth. Remember, the Bible talks about signs and wonders and miracles and signs in the heaven and all these things that will eventually come to pass.
Right.
Bible gives way to that. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I really wish people would understand this. I really wish that pastors would preach on these things and really understand that your people need to be prepared for spiritual war.
Right.
And
you know,
something that
occurs to me, brother. You know, when people start looking into eschatology, which is the study of the last things, the thing of it is, the most people go back to old commentaries by old men of God who lived in a time when all of these things we're talking about tonight weren't talked about. And so they had a very narrow view of what's going on. We're living now in a day when all these things are being revealed, and so things are making more sense now than they ever did before. But you've still got the old guard who looks back to these old preachers who preached on, again, on the book of Revelation. They're looking at these old commentaries about men who just they just couldn't see and couldn't make sense of all the things that are making sense now.
Amen. And we see signs and we're seeing these things. But and understand this, that God said that in these last times that he would send what the Bible calls his strong delusion. Now, I'm not getting into the timeline of rapture or anything like that to talk about that, because it really doesn't matter either way. If there's people that are listening that believe in a pre-trib or a post-trib, it doesn't matter either way for this context of this teaching, because strong delusion is going to come on this earth, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what we're being prepared for on this earth. Is and not so much us, but the lost are being prepared for this strong delusion. Those that are lost are being prepared to receive aliens. That's what they're being prepared for. They're
Absolutely.
Being prepared to believe that these aliens are going to come, and they're going to just, I mean, man, they're going to fix everything. They're going to take care of everything, and let's make first contact and everything else like that. Brother, how long do we have before our next break here?
Oh, we've got about 9 minutes, but I do want to say,
all right.
you just look at all of the alien movies and the increasing frequency of these alien movies. I mean, you've got aliens and zombies right now. That's the main thing. That's the main influence that they're pushing on people's minds.
Amen. You know, it's interesting. The other thing is that in these movies, there's all kinds of occultic numbers that the occult is using and everything else like that. It's unbelievable. They will use, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, I believe they use the number. They have a plane that's sitting there, and guess what number's on it? The number 33 is on there. My buddy Shane just emailed me or just messaged me something on that, and he was talking about the 33rd parallel. Well, you know what? That all means something, too. I don't have time to get into that, but there's so much there with that. That 33rd parallel and everything else, that number 33 in the occult, that number 13, man, they love it, the bunch of devils.
Right.
They're rotten devils. They love it. They love it so much. So these movies are coming out, and they're teaching the world something. By the way, don't let your family watch this garbage. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, don't let your family watch this stuff. If you're a born-again believer, don't be watching this occultic show that's going on here. Don't put this occultic stuff in front of your children and teach them that stuff. You're gonna mess these kids all up and get them confused into a bunch of things. It's not right. Get away from this stuff. Our battles are spiritual battles. Listen, they're indoctrinating our children through Hollywood, through music, through everything. Now, you know, with this alien conspiracy, you have Close Encounters of the Third Kind. By the way, that number, that third kind, that you have movies like A First Contact and Make Contact with Aliens and the movie E.T. You know, remember that E.T. phone home? You know, that was a big
right.
thing when I was a kid.
You did that really well.
I did do that really well, didn't I? I did watch that. And then E.T. had that glowing finger, and I don't have any pictures to show up for you. But that glowing finger is that picture of enlightenment that comes from the gray alien from above is going to enlighten you. Now remember who that angel of that one that appears as the angel of light is. Remember who that is. Remember
mm-hmm.
that is Satan.
That's Lucifer.
And marvel not. You know, that's Lucifer, that light bearer, that angel of light. So that's that picture that enlightenment's going to come from above. It's going to come from an alien. And the Bible forbids that enlightenment from another creature other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. By the way,
remember that.
Just want to share with you. I looked up that picture of that airplane, and it is the number 33. You're right on that.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's just unbelievable when you look at that Close Encounters of the Third Kind movie. If you watch that at all, and I don't recommend anybody watch it, but if you saw it, one thing that you would see a bunch of what you would see is a bunch of occultic teachings. Look at Man of Steel, Man of Sin. that I preached on that, the man of steel, the man of sin. And when I covered that, I talked about, because of the fact that he comes from above, he comes from Krypton, a secret world, he's an alien, he comes down here as a baby, he grows up, and he has good parents, so to speak, and then he's raised like that, and then all of a sudden, one day he flies away and leaves, but before he leaves, guess what he does? He gets Lois Lane pregnant, and when he returns, he has a child that's a hybrid child. It's from the sons of God and the daughters of men. That's what it's from. And he shows that, and they show that to you because they're telling you that, listen, I believe this. They're giving you a perversion of the truth. What they're trying to tell you is that they're going to come and they're going to mingle with us. Well, listen, you're right. The Antichrist is going to come and he's going to mingle his seed with the seed of man. That is what's going to happen. He's going to pull a trick of the incarnation. He's going to do some things. I don't know how it's all going to play out exactly, but I do know this, that he's going to be involved with it. The devil's involved with it. He's going to have a son, and he's going to bring that about, and he's going to do that in the kingdom, that fourth dimension. The veil is going to be rent, and they're going to come through, that fourth dimension is. The Bible says that very clearly, that the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. There's a man out there in the Liberty so-called movement that's out there, and his name is David Icke. And I don't want you to get confused with my friend and Brother Brandon's friend, Brother David Icke, is pastor from Gateway Anabaptist Church, because that's not the same guy. But David Icke is a guy that says, well, reptilians, the reptilian creatures, reptilian men, came down and they impregnated society, and that's how we got here, and they planted us, and that's what they're telling us. No, that's a bunch of satanic garbage. The Bible says clearly what the devil did. The Bible says clearly that he's going to, in the fourth kingdom, he's going to do something in the future. That kingdom's going to be diverse. Yes, we know the sons of God and the daughters of men did this, and yes, we know who the real serpent is, and it's that old wicked serpent, the devil. And by the way, I think Icke said that he got his vision through, or his spirits gave him that or something. I'm not sure how that went. But anyway, the Bible's very clear. Try the spirits to see whether they have God, for many false prophets have went out, many false spirits, many antichrist spirits are out there. So don't lose sight of that. However, there is a man that really has a lot to do with this, and we'll probably get into that about Aleister Crowley and the gray alien. We're going to get into that and see where did this all come from. And in a few minutes here, when we come back, I think we're getting ready to go on a break here pretty soon, aren't we, brother?
We are. We're going to take a break here in about a minute and a half, but we'll get into the connection with Aleister Crowley. I have a feeling we're going to run out of time. I really do. I don't feel like we're going to get this covered tonight, but at least maybe we can get people's appetite wet for this. And then next week we're going to be off for a week. Is here at Faith Baptist Church, we're having a revival meeting with Brother Daryl Weaver, but we'll be going on the air every night with that. And I do want to encourage people, if you'd like to listen to Brother Daryl Weaver, he'll be preaching he'll be preaching on online, same place. You can log in and listen to him. And then if we don't get done tonight, we'll be back the following week and we'll finish up with this. But anyway, go ahead with whatever you got left, and we'll take a break in just a second.
Amen. Well, listen, I think we'll finish up with Aleister Crowley's part and his influence tonight, but we won't get into UFOs, what they really are, and the devilish demonic activity with those that could be and everything like that. We'll talk about that in another show. But we're going to get into a man named Aleister Crowley, and we're going to kind of tie it all together of where these gray aliens, Hollywood comes in, gray aliens, Scientology, and all the rise of this alien types deception that's going on, and how the U.S. government, the good old CIA, the special force, the special agents, and everything else have to do with Aleister Crowley and everything else. You might be shocked by that, what he actually has to do with it.
Well, brother, it doesn't surprise me anymore when it comes to our government. Amen. But anyway, we're going to take a break. And this one's actually right on time. I'm excited. We're going to take a break on time. I do want to mention, though, that Brother Daryl Weaver, again, will be broadcasting his revival messages. That'll be starting this Sunday. He'll start Sunday morning, and we'll broadcast him Sunday morning, and then Monday night beginning at 7, Tuesday night at 7, Wednesday night at 7, Thursday night at 7, and Friday night at 7. So be sure to tune in, catch some great preaching from Brother Darrell Weaver from Midville, Georgia. We're going to take a break. One last time, a great song by the Marksman Quartet, Stormy Dark Waters, and we'll be back on the Old Paths broadcast.
Storms have been gathering way over my head. The worst is around me, the stillness is fled. Stormy dark waters roll over my heart. The winds and the storm clouds contribute their part. Stormy dark waters, around me they roll. The winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. The stormy dark water will soon come to pass. By clouds all the day, but I know it still shines. I can tell when I pray. Though we all love smooth sailing and a warm southern breeze, stormy dark water bring us all to our knees. Stormy dark water, round me they roll. Winds and the thunder trouble my soul. But off in the distance, the sun shines at last. Stormy dark water will soon come to pass. God charged the water so fishers and men just hoist up your mainsail, let your journey begin. Stormy dark water, round you will roll. Just don't let the thunder trouble your soul. Stormy dark water will all come to pass. Stormy dark water will soon come to pass. Stormy dark water will soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters soon come to pass. Stormy dark waters soon come to pass.
Amen. Stormy dark waters, they may come, but they do pass. Thank God we've got Him to get us through the storms of life. Amen. Let's get back into this tonight on the Old Paths broadcast with Brother Brandon Teague, with Brother Jason Cooley, and we're talking aliens. We're talking about what the King James Bible says regarding aliens. And there is a fourth dimension, and we've talked about that. And we're going to continue talking about that. We're going to talk about how this relates to some people here on Earth and Hollywood and things of that nature. And Brother Jason, kick us off in that direction.
All right, brother. Well, listen, as we've studied the fourth dimension tonight, just briefly, we've went through the fourth kingdom that shall arise in the end times, and we've also covered, or we're going to cover right now, a man named Aleister Crowley. What does Crowley have to do? Yeah, what does this wicked man Aleister Crowley have to do with gray aliens and all this alien talk and everything else? Well, Aleister Crowley was a pedophile and a fornicator and a Satanist. He was a very wealthy man. He is one of the most influential people in the last 100 years.
Oh, absolutely.
His impact on Hollywood and the music industry is unparalleled. You know, Ozzy Osbourne sings his song, Mr. Crowley.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yeah, talk about Mr. Crowley.
Jimmy Page, the guitarist for Led Zeppelin, bought his mansion and his library.
Yep, Oakshire Mansion, and he sick, twisted, wicked people. The Beatles have him on their album cover. The Beatles have Aleister Crowley there. But Crowley was
Sergeant Pepper, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Crowley practiced his own form of magic spelled with a K. It's called sex magic is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Crowley practiced that. Crowley was also a secret agent for the British government. He worked in America and he worked with Italian governments. You know, that dirty, rotten little Satanist was a agent, and he worked with the special agents in America as well as the British. He was Agent 666. He liked to call himself the Beast, 666, and he boasted himself as the most wicked man alive.
There's also something else about him, and this is just purely speculation, but there's a lot of people who believe that he is also Barbara Bush's natural father, that Barbara Bush's mother was involved with Crowley basically 9 months before she gave birth.
Unbelievable. I've heard that before, and JesusIsSavior.com or something like that has an article on there about that too as well, and I've seen that. I was like, wow, I've just briefly looked at that, and I could believe it. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. None of that stuff surprises me with these wicked people. They have no morals, no scruples. They'll do whatever they want to do. They do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. That's what they live by. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of rocksters live by. Anyway, we don't have time to get into that a lot, but that's the way Hollywood is. Do what thou wilt. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Like I said last night in my sermon, what do you want to follow that old wicked, dirty, rotten thing for? Want to follow that wicked heart of yours for? Wicked is the devil. You want to follow it? Terrible. Anyway, Aleister Crowley, though, Crowley transferred his activities to America. And again, the press called him the most wicked man alive. Most of Crowley's adult life was dedicated to indulging in everything he believed that God would hate. He performed sex magic. He took heroin, opium, hashish, peyote, cocaine. He invoked spirits, and even once offering himself to the Russian authorities to help destroy Christianity. You know, there's been a lot of guys that thought they could destroy Christianity. They thought they could destroy the truth of the Word of God. They thought they could destroy Bible faith. And you know what? They just can't accomplish it. They seem to die and go to a sinner's hell and don't get anywhere. Why? Because the Bible is the Word of the living God. That's why.
That's right. Amen.
And we need to understand that God's Word is true. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, so Crowley, a wicked man, Crowley dictated, you know, he said he wrote volumes of books that he believed were dictated to him. And he said the spirit told him this: to worship me, take wine and strange drugs. The spirit conveniently told him, lust, enjoy all things of sense and rapture. Fear not that any god shall deny thee for this. At the age of 12, this sick young man tortured and killed animals.
Mm-hmm.
Crowley was a heroin addict and a sex pervert. His Christian mother referred to him as the great beast of Revelation, whose number is 666. Crowley thought he was the Crowley thought he was the reincarnation of Elias Eliphaz Levi, who died the year Crowley was born. And just a sick, sick, twisted man. He said this about Christianity, that religion they call Christianity, the devil they honor they call God. I accept these definitions as a poet must do, if he is to be at all intelligible to his age, and it is their God and their religion that I hate and I will destroy.
He was an idiot.
Yeah, he's a sick. Aleister Crowley is the occultist and Satanist that is perhaps the most well known. His work called The Book of the Law, Magic in Theory and Practice, and The Book of Thoth are broadly used in occultic circuits.
Mm-hmm.
Crowley himself didn't take much credit. He said that spirit always gave it to him. Anyway, so as we move along here, Crowley here, understand his importance. Crowley was a 33rd degree Mason.
Right.
Crowley was influential in Hollywood, influential in the beginning before Hollywood and everything else, and influential with writers and everything else. Crowley believed that this always had lived in Chaldea during the reign of Hammurabi in 1750 BC, but later in this book, The Magic in Theory and Practice, Crowley identified always was his own genius, he said. I don't believe that. I believe Crowley spoke to familiar spirits. He said that this they gave him this, do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
Hmm.
The law, do what thou wilt, is the law of this new state. A one-world government was his motto, which he was a secret order he himself was the grand master of. He rejected traditional morality. He rejected it. He even enjoyed being called the wickedest man in the world. Aleister Crowley was definitely a wicked, satanic man. But Aleister Crowley went to go visit Buddhists. He went all over the place.
Hey there, bro.
Aleister, can you hear me?
Yeah, you just completely blanked out for about 10 seconds. You did it about a minute and a half ago, too.
Oh, wow. I think I'm getting blocked out here. Seems like the devil don't want this truth to be out there, brother.
Oh, that's no, he doesn't like it.
Now, I'm not going to read his letter, but you can go online and find the letter from the Council of the 33rd Degree Mason that gave him his 33rd Degree Mason rank and everything like that. So he's a very wicked man anyway. He's connected to the Masons, the Masonic Order. Remember, they're looking for that Antichrist, that Apollyon. They're not looking for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Understand that. Crowley made no bones about it. He said before Hitler was, I am.
Hmm.
You think about that.
Yeah.
Crowley said this.
Isn't that kind of a mirror image or a warped, rather, not a mirror, but a warped image of before Abraham was, I am?
That's exactly what he's saying, brother.
Yeah, you're just going to dead air, brother.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, the devil's just mad as he's mad as an old wet hen. He doesn't like this at all.
You're right. Well, I'm gonna keep going, brother, because I don't want to run out of time here, and I want to get this part of it out so we can make that connection here. One thing that Aleister Crowley said in his book. Go ahead, brother. Did you say something?
No, I said you lay it out there, brother. You just do it to
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay, he said this, I will give you a war engine. With it you shall smite the peoples, and none shall stand before you. Lurk, withdraw upon them. This is the law of the battle of conquest. Thus shall my worship be about my secret house. Now, I don't have time to talk about that, but that secret house is just absolutely 100% occultic. Mercy let be off. Damn them who pity. Kill and torture. Spare not. Be upon them. Argue not, convert not, talk not overmuch. Them that seek to entrap thee, to overthrow them. Them attack without pity or quarter, and destroy them utterly. Swift as the trodden serpent, turn and strike. Be thou deadlier than he. Drag their souls to awful torment, laugh at their fear, spit upon them.
He was a nice guy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was a very wicked, wicked man. Now, where does Crowley come in? in influentiality. Here's where Crowley comes in. Here's where this gray alien comes in. Crowley had an image, and you can Google Crowley's lamb, and it's LAM. And it looks like a version of the gray alien. Well, that's because Aleister Crowley invented the gray. Well, actually, the devil showed Aleister Crowley this familiar spirit, this gray alien, or this thing called lamb. Now, it wasn't an alien. It was a familiar spirit. It was from the spirit world, and he showed him this, and Aleister Crowley drew this lamb. Do a search of lamb, L-A-M, Aleister Crowley's lamb, and then search gray alien, and you will see that the striking similarity between them.
Actually, now, brother, it's scrolling on when people log on to Opeth's broadcast when they're watching it or listening to it tonight. It's actually one of the pictures scrolling across.
Oh, amen. All right, good. That's good. Aleister Crowley was a student of Aleister Crowley's was John Parsons or Jack Parsons.
Jack Parsons
is the true father of the American rocketry. By the way, you see Jet Propulsion Laboratory. By the way, you see his picture with Walt Disney. You can find that online, which I think is fascinating, by the way. I don't have time to go into that connection. But you can see his picture with Walt Disney holding the rocket and Jack Parsons right there at the same time. Don't tell me that's an accident, and don't tell me they're all in the occult. They were all linked together. They're all a bunch of Satanists is what they are. Walt Disney was a Satanist. Anyway, moving right along here to make this connection. It is widely known that Parsons was a follower of Aleister Crowley. Crowley was an English poet, a magician, a Satan follower. We understand that. Order of the Eastern Temple, all of those things. Crowley's involvement with the OTO functioned as his means of disseminating his beliefs and practices. Crowley taught, Jack Parsons followed Crowley in his teachings. Now, Jack Parsons was friends with a man named L. Ron Hubbard.
Mm-hmm.
L. Ron Hubbard, although he wasn't a musician and probably didn't play his music backwards, Parsons was involved with two rather famous writers, L. Ron Hubbard and Robert Heinlein. Hubbard and Heinlein were both friends of Parsons, and they shared his occult interest in magic, as well as inspirations from Crowley and Thelema. What's his name? Marilyn Manson sings a song about riding to the Abbey to the Thelema, and that's the temple of Crowley.
Mm.
That's what he's talking about right there in his song. That's what he means. The purpose of, now they wanted to, Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard wanted to tap into Lamb. They wanted to reach that veil of the fourth dimension. They wanted to tap into Lamb and the cult of Lamb and bring about a spirit called Babylon. Babylon, the purpose of Babylon working, according to Parsons, was to create this entity, thus ushering in the Aeon of Horus. Some argue that this being manifested in the form of the gray alien being, possibly in Roswell, New Mexico, Heinlein's involvement is further supported through Stranger in a Strange Land, when the concept of Thelema is illustrated but cleverly coded in the text. Scientology is the religion of Hollywood right now. That and obviously Kabbalism, which it all comes from. But anyway, Scientology, you have Jack Parsons, you have Dianetics, you have Scientology, you have L. Ron Hubbard. All together, now Scientology is very popular in Hollywood. Its beliefs are esoteric. It says this, Scientology further holds man to be basically good. Now, if you stop and listen to that right there, what do you come to?
Well, it's nonsense.
Right, because man is deceitful.
Absolutely.
Man is, his heart is wicked. Man is not good, he's wicked. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. They say this in Scientology, that his spiritual salvation depends upon himself, his fellows, and his attainment of brotherhood with the universe. Scientology is not a dogmatic religion which one is asked to accept anything on faith alone. On the contrary, one discovers for oneself that the principles of Scientology are true by applying its principles and observing or experiencing the results. The ultimate goal of Scientology. Now listen to this. This is where Aleister Crowley's Satanism comes in. This is where Buddhism comes in. This is where the Masonic Order comes in. This is where the occult comes in right here. The ultimate goal of Scientology is true spiritual enlightenment and freedom for all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get rid of sin.
Yeah, no sin. I mean, you have to be one with the universe. You've got to have that spiritual oneness. And man, what is this? This is man attaining to godhood. This is the Genesis chapter 3 and verse, or Genesis promise that Satan made to Eve. He shall be as gods. We're
right.
Going to make you perfect. Man is going to ascend to godhood. Don't you get it? That's what evolution is about. That's what the whole thing is about. It's about man ascending to godhood. Man doesn't need God in the evolutionary scheme. Man can ascend to godhood. Satan said it. I will be like the Most High. Seven words. I will be like God. I will ascend. Man will ascend. That's what it's about. Evolution is nothing more but Kabbalism, and I don't have time to get into that tonight, but that's where it comes from. It comes from the Kabbalah. And all, it's nothing but Satanism from the Garden of Eden, what Satan tried to tell Eve, you'll be as gods, Eve.
That's
you'll
right.
be like a god. So, the alien deception comes down to this. Aleister Crowley influences these. These influence Hollywood, and among this time of Roswell and everything else that was going on, was this Lamb. The continued work of Lamb was done from L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons. They continued it in Scientology. Now, they don't talk about that because, remember, it's all a mystery. They don't want to, the occult never reveals their esoteric secrets to those that don't deserve it, they say. They give you the exoteric meaning, the outside meaning, but not the esoteric meaning. So what does it come down to? It comes down to this. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you I told you these things? And ye know what that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That same spirit. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him, talk about the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan. He's going to come with that Daniel chapter 4 kingdom. Daniel chapter 2 kingdom is going to come. It's going to mingle himself with flesh, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. What do we have now? Strong delusion? Aliens? It's the beginning of that strong delusion. I'm not saying it's the full manifestation of it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's the beginning of strong delusion. Oh, they're aliens.
They're just sowing the seeds now.
Right.
They're implanting the idea in people's minds.
Right, and they bombard it through music, through everything else. They bombard it with that. Crowleyism, it's nothing more. All this is nothing more than satanic stuff. That's all it is. It's a satanic deception. Hey, these are aliens. Hey, there's real aliens out there, and they're coming for you. And, you know, they're going to come and fix this world and everything else. And no, they're not. They're devils that are going to come.
Right. Yeah, we're worrying about whether or not there's life on Mars. And, I mean, it's just a fascination. Is there life on Mars? Has there been life on Mars? Where is the alien people that are going to come and bring peace on Earth? I mean, that's all you hear when it comes to the talk like this.
That's right. And why? Because, listen, we got to get it off the Bible. Satan, listen, the reason I preached this whole series was because Satan desires to hide himself, to mask himself. Remember, it's the mystery of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to keep the iniquity a mystery. He wants to veil himself. He wants to veil himself in aliens. He wants to veil his kingdom in aliens. So you don't believe the Bible then. Oh, well, there's aliens, so the Bible's not true. No, my friend, the Bible predicted all this to come. The Bible spoke about this and told you this kingdom would arise. this dimension would be broke through and that spiritual kingdom will come. The Bible warned us about this. God's word has the answer. You trust the word of God. Don't you fall for the deception of Aleister Crowley, gray aliens, movies, and all these other paranormal David Icke's and all these other guys out there in this liberty movement that are trying to push all these aliens and everything else. No, they're devils. They're deceitful devils that are going to come. That's what's coming on this world, and that's the people that are going to be confused. You better trust Christ as your Savior. You better repent and believe the gospel and be born again by the Spirit of God and have the Holy Ghost of God inside of you so you can discern these things. These people in this liberty movement, they can't discern these things because they're lost.
That's right, brother. They think they're going to fix everything. They think they can turn this whole thing around. But I'm telling you, folks, the Bible's true. And what the Bible says is going to happen is going to happen. Listen, the world shouldn't be afraid of a meteor wiping us all out. The world shouldn't be afraid of nuclear bombs wiping us all out. The world should be afraid of being deceived and missing out on salvation through Christ Jesus. That's what people should be concerned about. And the Bible's going to happen just like the Word of God says it is. And what Brother Cooley has taught you tonight is absolutely true. And folks, we're just gonna get deeper and deeper into this until we exhaust the subject, because folks need to hear this. Folks need to know the truth. Folks need to understand that just because you've seen it in movies and just because you've heard it for a long time, does not mean that it's true. We learned that last week with the geocentricity. Just because you've heard something one way does not mean that you've gotten the truth. So folks, I'm telling you. Get in your Bible. Dig for yourself. Mine for truth. Be miners for truth in the Word of God. Brother, we've got a few minutes left. I'm gonna give you time to give your closing thoughts on this, and we got about 3 minutes left.
Amen. Well, listen, just remember that the satanic deception is gonna rise, and that's why we're seeing all the things that we're seeing. We are seeing we are seeing people that gave us at least the impression that they believe the Word of God, but they don't, obviously. We understand that, but they're manifesting themselves, these prophets of the New Age out there, they're manifesting themselves as we speak, and they're showing what spirit they're really of. And my biggest concern for you is to try the spirits to see whether they're of God, because the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You've got these men out there. You've got Glenn Beck, who's a prophet of the New Age. You've got Rick Warren. You've got mm-hmm. Joel Osteen. You've got all of these guys,
right,
that are prophets of the New Age.
Right. Brother, we're running out of time. It's been a good show.
Amen.
And
amen,
thank you for convincing me to bring this to light. I think it was absolutely fascinating, and I'm excited to look into it even further. And next time we come on after next week's revival, and by the way, tune in all during the week, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. and we'll have Brother Darrell Weaver in, and he'll be preaching the Word of God. I encourage you to hear that, but come back next Thursday night at 7. And me and Brother Cooley get back into this subject. And next week we'll talk about UFOs. We're excited to bring this stuff to you. Pray for us. Pray for our safety. Pray for God to give us His courage and His strength and His power. And as we say here on the program every week, let God be true, but every man a liar. And just glad to be able to bring this stuff to you. Just glad to be able to broadcast what God has laid on our heart. Brother Cooley, it's been good.
Amen, brother.
God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Keep the faith,
amen.
Brother. Be strong.
Amen.
Stack them stones for you and me.